following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast, and this is the best day of my life.
Yeah, and
God damn!
I love the big package. Ladies and gentlemen, it's another Wednesday night. It's another episode of the Shining Wizards AEW Dynamite Post Show for April 15th, 2020. D-Generation Y is with us. We added another member. We have, of course, Ryan Arthur, the newest member. We have Danny Rusinello. We have Anthony Rusinello. Absent, Kate the Great, because she's a fucking dummy and can't stay away from her dumb family. You want to tell me to hit the record button, Kate? I'll come after you, Kate. This is what you get, Kate. I'm all fired up. I've been drinking green tea all day.
Ah.
I haven't. I haven't been drinking green tea. I went and I got myself some Twisted Teas today at the local liquor store. They made you call when you got to the parking lot, and then they came out and took payment outside.
I have no quarrels with that whole purchasing things situation.
That's awesome. So I want everything to be that way.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I call ahead. I don't have to talk to anybody. You bring it to my car.
Anthony did not like that response by you, Daniel.
Just jump all over him, why don't you?
I think we both started talking at the same time. I'm okay with it.
And we're going to work on it. How you guys holding up, first and foremost? Let's get that out of the way. Make sure everyone's doing healthy. Obviously, as I mentioned, Kate got the coronavirus. So she is not with us. She is doing good, though. She's not on her deathbed. She doesn't have a compromised immune system like, you know, every WWE wrestler who's not on TV. So she's well, but she just can't join us because she probably looks like a hot mess. And if you wanted to listen to somebody cough into the microphone, you could just watch the the Morton Downey Jr. thing from WrestleMania 5.
No idea. Not a clue.
Oh, my God. Oh. We're going here already, Danny?
Jesus.
Piper's Pit, Brother Love, Morton Downey
Jr. I know who those people. I couldn't pick that person out of a lineup.
Don't you blow the smoke in my face, Mr. Downey.
What?
Oh, man.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Move on.
Well, you have to. It's just find the Brother Love from WrestleMania 5. It's Brother Love, and he has Morton Downey Jr. there, who was like a very edgy talk show host at the time, and he had like the smoke. And then Piper came out, and he ran Brother Love off. And then Piper's trying to talk to Morton Downey Jr. And every time he gets in his face, Morton Downey Jr. blows smoke in his face, and he goes, "I'd like it if you didn't. I'm gonna ask you one more time, Mr. Downey. Don't blow the smoke in my face." My Rowdy Piper's awful. I never said I could do a Rowdy Piper.
You know what? That was great, and now I don't even need to look it up.
Right? And then I've been watching a lot of like old wrestling this week, and every time I see Cowboy Bob Orton, I would just say to myself, that's my best friend, Ace. I'm a fucking weirdo. I don't know what to tell you guys. I did sign up for the High Spots Network, which is like $10 a month. It is amazing. I watched some fucking, I mean... Justin Credible is a dear friend of mine, but I watched some fucking, he relived like 2000 in ECW. It was the worst fucking shoot interview I've ever seen in my life. They were asking him questions. He's like, I don't know. And the guy's like shuffling the papers. He's like, there was some heat with Francine. What about you? I don't know. I'm like, this fucking sucks.
Jeez.
But then I put on a Rob Van Dam shoot interview where it's him and Tommy Dreamer. Very interesting. Tommy Dreamer once thought Rey Mysterio Jr. was a girl and checked him out in the elevator.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
But you guys are doing good?
Yeah, other than being pretty bored, I wasn't allowed to go to work for 2 weeks, and then I got to go back to work on Friday, so that was exciting. But, you know, still sporadically, but it's exciting just getting out of the house now. Going grocery shopping is an event.
How about you, Danny?
I'm doing all right. I was in our warehouse on Monday. I was in today, and I'll be in tomorrow. But when I go in, I'm essentially the only one in the building. I don't interact with anybody. So, you know, it's not awful. It's an excuse and way to get out of the house at least for a little while. And I know tomorrow I got to do all our house's food shopping and stuff too. So getting prepared for that.
Yeah, it's my wife has been out of work for a month. So just like getting to go to work for me is like, I really, if it's not like the weekend or Tuesday, I really don't do shit, but it's just nice to get out of the house. So yeah. I feel bad because she's not really doing much. She is sewing a shitload of masks that she's going to donate to the hospital, so that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But then I've been watching a lot of wrestling. I come home and she's like, she's playing Animal Crossing, and I'm like, can I watch this? Can I watch that? And she's like, yeah, I don't care. So I watch like fucking shoot interviews. I've been watching ECW. I watch everything. Whatever's, I got like fell down this All Japan rabbit hole. I'm watching Rob Van Dam versus Dan Crawford. I'm watching Rob Van Dam versus Doug Furness. And this is like Rob Van Dam, like 1993, 94.
Oh, wow.
So I'm using my time. I don't know if it's wisely, but I'm using it. I'm watching a lot of pro wrestling. I'll tell you that right
now. Nice.
Yeah, and we are live on the rantrantemradio.com. If you're out there listening, feel free to chat us up at Wizards Podcast. I run the Twitter there. We got at DannyRuss973 and at Ryan Arthur and AntMoney247. He's his optimum sucks, he said, but he'll be back. So let's talk AEW, gentlemen. Let's start with you, Ryan, since you're new to the fold. Let's talk about what you like tonight from AEW Dynamite.
I like the way the show was put together. They do a really good job of at times letting you forget that there really is no crowd there by having just a few people on the outside. At times they were chanting. I thought that really worked a ton. You know, they're obviously tonight they used a lot of air quotes enhancement people or, you know, local job guys, which obviously you're going to have to do a lot. So I like the way the show's put together. It's put together in a way that makes me forget what's happening.
I got to turn my mic on. 8 years, people. At least once a week.
I've actually thought this week's episode was a little better than last week's episode. I enjoyed it more. I thought it flowed better. I really liked the celebrity, you know, pick videos from either Ron Funches or Dan Soder, all the Mike Goldberg, the Bellator announcer, even some of the Bellator fighters. I thought that was a fun real sports kind of feel element to the show. Even though that match was like not the best, at least to me, it was fine. I didn't think it was anything amazing, but I like that part of the show. I really like that you got to Lance Archer took some offense from somebody tonight. He was dominant over Colt, but it wasn't a squash match like he's had. And I really like everything Britt Baker's doing a lot. She's so good as a hateable dentist heel.
Yeah, I wish they had someone else for her to work with that spoke English.
That would be helpful for sure.
Yeah, she just one person would go so far for that division. But, yeah, I agree with you. She's very good at what she's doing right now.
Well, barring the circumstances, and if you're not familiar with what AEW's done, the last 2 weeks ago, I want to say, they taped all their TV up until Double or Nothing. So you're going to see a lot of job matches. You're going to see a lot of the same people. just because of the circumstances. They kind of planned ahead, which is fine by me because they do a great job of telling stories. And I think keeping certain people off TV or they're not there or the way that they get them involved, like the Bubbly Bunch. We haven't seen Santana or Ortiz in a couple weeks. And then they're there. Like, they have something to do on the show. They're in a little skit. They're still pushing the inner circle. They're friends. They don't hit each other with their finishers. They even got Ortiz and Santana's feelings on the Hager match. So I was really into that. Anthony, what did you like about tonight's AEW Dynamite show?
You know, I think it was another pretty good show. I think we all saw this coming, as we kind of said. You know, we're going to see the local talent, and we're going to get the best out of the local talent that we can because they're making do with the circumstances that, you know, are in front of them. So I didn't think it was a bad show. I thought that the opening again, the cold open with Jake talking about Lance, was good for Lance, and Jake is great on the mic, so I like that. You know, the Lance Colt match I thought was really good. You know, Colt was the perfect opponent for him this round to give him a real opponent and somebody who would sell and help make him look good, and he did that. I did like the take on the main event from all the celebrities and the real fight people. You know, it did feel like a real fight. You know, there was some stuff I didn't love, like the Brit match. You know, it was whatever. It was what it needed to be. The Spears and whoever the other kid was, somebody Law, you know, it was what it was. I honestly didn't mind the main event. I really didn't mind that pacing. I felt like it was watching a real fight, like an MMA fight where two guys are kind of feeling each other out and being cautious. So I didn't mind the pacing. I think we all kind of felt that the outcome was going to be the way it was. And they needed to do something like this to give you a reason to watch, you know, the show, have something big and put it on TV and make it feel special. So I thought overall it was a pretty good show.
I liked how they, obviously, any Jake promo, I'll say it every week. I still don't understand how it took him this long to land a job. Especially when you look at some other companies where there's some talent that could really, really use a mouthpiece like Jake to get them over. The Colt Cabana video that they showed before the match, you got to see the silly side of Colt Cabana, and then you got to see the professional wrestler side. Like, yes, I like to have a good time. Yes, I do comedy, but this is a serious thing to me. The TNT Championship means something to me. So I thought they did a great job with that. Britt is awesome. I love, like, I know she lost to Sheeta last week, but it's gone. It's out of my mind. The shit with the fucking tape on the nose and her, like, she's just great. She's brilliant. And I think they're setting her up in a way where obviously you can't put her with Nyla Rose because that's where Sheeta's going. But if and when that Sheeta-Nyla Rose match happens and hopefully she walks out the champion, Sheeta, then you can set up Britt and Sheeta. Britt's got to get that win back. Now the title's on the line. She fucked up my face. She broke my nose. I mean, it may not have been the direction they were going, but it's set up perfectly. The squash matches were great. I got a kick out of Tony Schiavone not being able to say Shug D, which was funny.
Real quick on that. Why did they not just change his AEW name to Pineapple Pete immediately?
Because it's Sugar Dunkerton.
They should have gone with it.
Sugar's got a reputation. He's been around for a long time.
Sure. So, I just thought it would have been funny to capitalize on that with Jericho doing the commentary. I just thought it would have been fun. That's
I mean,
all.
They didn't. Shy,
it's a mild point.
They didn't shy away from it, and I want to say that Dunkerton has a Pineapple Pete shirt now on Pro Wrestling Tees. I could be wrong.
Good for him. I hope he does.
And it's weird because he moved to the UK. So to have him here in the States for all these tapings is super weird. Because I know he was very involved with the David Starr stuff, the Independent stuff, and I think he has his own show on that platform. So the fact that he managed to get to the States, if it was by hook or by crook, or he was supposed to be here for just one set of tapings and it ended up working out for him, I love it. I thought it was great. Sean Spears, I don't know if you guys watched Dark. I mean, they kind of showed it. He beat Billy Gunn's kid. It was the only match on AEW Dark because they super hyped that Hager-Moxley fight. And I loved how they used, what, that at the Ariel, whatever, Hawani?
Ariel Hawani.
They got him involved, like you guys said. They got Mike Goldberg. They got Big John McCarthy. They got Dan Soder. They got Funches. They had all the guys from the Inner Circle. Like, man, they really set it up like it was going to be, like, a big fight. And that's what people, like, I was on Twitter doing the live tweeting for the Wizards, and a lot of people were like, I can't believe this, because wrestling fans are fucking fickle, bro. The amount of people that were like, I'm not going to watch WWE today because of this, because of what happened this afternoon. Like, oh, maybe I'll give NXT a shot, AEW, excuse me. Like, oh, I can't believe it took me this long to watch. Like, look, man, you could like fucking NXT, you could like AEW, you can like WWE, you can like New Japan, like fucking watch it all, but don't be like, it fucking blows my mind. I think Danny was, he said someone was like, retweeted a fucking the Tony Khan tweet where he was like, thanks to the fans, and the guy was like, oh, perfect time to do this. Danny's like, bro, shut the fuck up. Like, one has nothing to do with the other. And I piggybacked on that, of course, and was like, you're a fucking mark. Fucking wrestling fans piss me off. Me and Ronda Rousey, we're like BFFs now.
Just while I'm thinking about it too, Jericho and Shivani tonight, again, were outstanding. And I think my favorite thing from Jericho tonight, I don't know why, was in the Kip Sabian and Chucky T, that's right. During that match when Penelope got on the apron and he said she's displaying her feminine wares, I laughed out loud at that.
My favorite Jericho thing of the night, and even last week, has been how smitten he is with Sammy Guevara and saying how sexy he is. It's so funny, though, that he's just, like, so taken by how handsome he is.
Or it's Schiavone. He's so committed to calling Shivani Schiavone. He never messes it up either. It's great.
It's amazing.
I'll tell you who I have heat with, that Orange Cassidy.
Why is that?
My wife, she's tying all these things on the couch while AEW's on. She's kind of watching it, and she heard... she heard the old school pronunciation of charisma. She was like, why did Jericho say it like that? And then Orange Cat, I'm like, watch this guy. He's going to do something crazy, and he never takes his hands out of his pockets. Motherfucker didn't do anything. Took his jacket off and tried to be sexy.
Have a watch next week.
Yeah, that's a big deal, him against Jimmy Havoc, huh?
That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun because his match against Pac or Pac or whatever you want to call him at Revolution was a good match. So I think that it's great that they're putting him on regular TV. He's there, so they might as well use him. And I think people are going to be surprised if they get, you know, the same Orange Cassidy that showed up. If they don't do something stupid and decide just to have him be so lax in this fight, I think it could be a fun match.
No, I think you'll get the Orange Cassidy that everybody expects. My favorite thing that Jericho said tonight, and it may have been so under the radar, he made a Super Porky reference. And if you don't know who Super Porky is, he's a fucking luchador. I was fucking rolling in my chair. He had like...
I missed the reference, but I know who Super Porky is.
Lance Archer went for like almost a Vader bomb. And when he hit the ropes, he spun around and he just landed on him. Like a frog splash, and Jericho was like, oh, the shades of the Super Porky. And I was howling.
Damn it.
But fucking, from what my understanding is, they're going to be the commentary team until Double or Nothing. JR on commentary for that main event was the fucking shits. I'm sorry.
He's tough with no fans, man. He's got no energy, and I don't blame him. He's fucking how old, but...
It wasn't even the energy. It's just shit like, why is there a steel chair there? There's no fans here.
Yeah, why is there a guardrail here?
I mean, it's, you know, he did it in his living room after they had it taped. I mean, how can you blame him? But I will say this. I liked having somebody call commentary, because some of the clips that I had seen of WWE produced stuff with no commentary is really awkward and really weird. And I'm not trying to go corporate. I know that's not the focus of what we're doing, but I saw some clips of some of those empty arena or empty studio matches where there was no commentary, no music. It was just grunting and basically heavy breathing. If you turn the lights off, you'd swear you were watching, you know, something different than wrestling. But it was just, it was, I think they did what they needed to do. They had somebody call the match. You know, having JR do it made it, you know, have that feel that it's a big deal. It's not just another match on Dynamite. So I get why they did it. It wasn't great, but, you know, it was exactly what it needed to be. So I think that they got what they needed out of it, and they're going to move on. They're going to move on to prepping for Double or Nothing now.
And who do you guys think is next in line for the Mox?
Ooh.
I mean, it was, I think it was supposed to be MJF, but I don't know what's going on with MJF. There's been some rumblings that something's going on with MJF, because I guess he had this tweet up that said, you know, somebody said to him something about 5-0, like, what's the big deal? You haven't been on TV, you know, since whatever. And he said something like, I wish I could put my body on the line, but there's something, you know, there's more going on I can't comment about. You know, blah, blah, blah. It seemed weird because it was like pulling away from his, you know, gimmick, and he always wears the kayfabe. But if you ask me, it's a work. I think it's a work, and he wants people to think that there's something going on, and, you know, that's why he's not on TV. I think he's just a casualty like some of these other guys who couldn't get there for TV. They're just stuck wherever they are. And I think he'll show up, but I don't know if they were lining that up, if that's going to happen. It seems so odd because he hasn't been on TV or anything.
Well, with the way that the AEW uses the vignettes and stuff like the Bubbly Bunch and the stuff with Archer and Jake, I don't think it's far-fetched for them to set this match up with MJF and Moxley with just a bunch of vignettes. Yes, you would rather have MJF be there and him and something happen with him and Moxley. But I think due to the circumstances, both guys can talk. MJF is going to sell the shit out of it. He's going to be a dirtbag. Like, they could do something where he's like, I don't know, bothering Renee Young or whatever. They may have pre-taped shit. I'm trying to figure out the timeline, because there was a couple there was the AEW, the first two shows when they did it without a crowd, he was still there. The first week he was betting, the second week he was in the back. And I can't remember if he was there for the third week. And the third week would have been the week where they did all those tapings up till Double or Nothing. It could be a strategic play from AEW where they're keeping him off TV just to roll him out next week. But it'll be interesting to see. I would be all in for an MJF Moxley feud.
Yeah, that'd be good.
They're so different. They could play so well off of each other. But, yeah, hopefully nothing's seriously wrong with the guy. I mean, he's such a bright star, and he's so he's so hateable in his character, and he's always in character, and he's just a super talented guy, and you really hope that nothing serious is wrong with him.
Well, I mean, to give credit to the whole wrestling community, WWE included, I mean, we only have, what, one report, and we don't even know who it is. We're an on-air talent from WWE tested positive for the coronavirus. But, I mean, you've heard nothing from anybody else. I get it that no other companies are running shows, but still, like, no one from AEW got sick during that time period. No one from Ring of Honor or MLW or Impact. Impact's still doing tapings. They're going to do their pay-per-view is going to be two-week special on Axis and Twitch. So next week is the first. Yeah, next they taped like 2 months worth of TV out in Tennessee, which will be interesting because I talked about it Monday night on the podcast. They're not bringing in talent from California and New York, and Tessa is your champion, and she lives in California. So what they do I don't know what they did. Did she drive? Did she drive instead of fly? Did they pay for her to drive out to fucking Tennessee from California? Who knows? It'll be interesting to see. But the whole wrestling community as a whole, and you know what? I don't want to get away from AEW, but some super big news from Japan today, and I think it flew under the radar because everything that happened with WWE. A representative from New Japan Pro Wrestling and every major pro wrestling company in Japan met with the government today in Japan to try and figure out what's the best move to go forward and how can we stay afloat. And it was testing kits for all the wrestlers and their families and benefits and pay for all the wrestlers during this time because that's what they make their money off of, the wrestling in Japan. It's not like over here in the States, like... I know the New Japan store was open until, like, last week when they shut the whole country down. So, like, these guys have no income whatsoever. Yeah, you got the guys that have, like, their pro wrestling tea stores, but, you know, all the women from Stardom, Pro Wrestling Noah, All Japan, they were all there. Tanahashi was there today. Iwatani from Stardom was there. Like, they were all there to talk to the government, which I think is a positive sign. I know New Japan didn't want to go ahead and do any shows without fans, but I think that's the direction we're going at this point.
I don't think they're going to have a choice.
They've lost so much.
Yeah, like if you want to do shows, if you want to have sports in general, like there's no way they're going to let people in an arena anytime soon.
And they're just more vigilant in the Japanese culture. It's
oh, yeah.
Them telling people to stay home, they're going to stay home.
Yes, very obedient.
Well, what's interesting, sorry, what's interesting about what's going on here is that, you know, I know in our little text chat we have going on during the day, you know, and this goes into kind of all sports here and even, you know, wrestling, because so much of it is in Florida. Obviously, you know, the news came out last week that WWE is allowed to continue to keep shooting live because they were deemed essential. Essential workers in Florida. And then I think today the memo hit from Florida's governor, whoever it is, that anybody, any sports or media company with a national following can be deemed essential and they can continue to work if they do so with a closed arena and no fans. So what I'm interested in seeing is if some of these other wrestling promotions actually jump on that and decide to go to Florida and try to do live TV or tape. You know, I think the thought among our group was keep everybody as safe as possible. Like in AEW's case, they've got everything taped. You know, take the time, keep your guys safe for the long haul, and, you know, don't risk anything. But some of these other companies, like Ring of Honor, could Ring of Honor find some place to shoot or film or do anything in Florida to help get themselves going again? It'll be interesting to see who maybe takes advantage of that new ruling in Florida.
Yeah, it's a good point. I immediately thought of UFC because I know Dana White is hellbent on Fight Island, which is a whole conversation in and of itself. But that dude wants to desperately be the first major legitimate sport back. And if that's the thing, because they did the same in New York. I know some people in media that work in Manhattan and they're not deemed essential business. Technically they're there, but media was added to the ruling of people allowed to stay open. Like, I don't know, but the wording of essential business really annoyed me when that first came out. And then when I realized they're like, oh yeah, well ESPN is still open and running and, you know,
right.
I'm watching Michael Kay on the Yes Network every afternoon. So, you know, I get it from that standpoint. So what I wouldn't do is the whole live show thing. I think that's crazy.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult for, you know, for them to go move forward with anything with a live crowd, because still nobody has any idea how to tell when somebody has this. You know, you could take all the temperatures you want, but, you know, I could not have a fever, and then in 5 days I could have a fever, and then in 5 days I could be fine, but I had it for 2 weeks and I gave it to fucking six people, so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what's... I was gonna say what's worse is, you know, having all these precautions in place is great, but there are still things that nobody knows about this, right? You could be asymptomatic and a carrier and never have symptoms and pass to somebody. And then there's even, you know, talk that nobody really knows yet. There might be one case, I think I heard on the news yesterday, of somebody who had it, was cured, or didn't show symptoms anymore, got it again and died. So I think there's still going to be, time will tell if you can actually get this again. But, you know, until I think there's full-blown testing going on and a way for everybody to be able to tell if you've had it or if you're carrying it or something like that, we're still a long time away from being able to put people in crowds. And it's going to spread to everywhere. You know, this is probably going to be the way wrestling is for a while. Concerts for sure. Any of those types of large gatherings. You know, they were talking about concerts maybe end of November this year. And if that's even if that's not possible, spring of 2021. You know, so we've still got time. I think that if these companies, from a wrestling perspective, are smart and keep their talent safe, and maybe can eventually have, you know, satellite kind of tapings where maybe, you know, from All Elite's perspective, they've got this group in Tennessee, they've got a facility in Florida, maybe they can run something in the New York or Northeast area with talent local to that area who they do a taping or something.
That's, you know, a great idea.
If that's what they're going to be able to do, then I think that's fine and that's a way you can stay afloat. But, you know, you can't, for anything out there, you can't put anybody at risk at this point because, you know, people won't want to come back and then you're just going to destroy your own company at that point.
Well, and you have to remember, they're all athletes, so they all have that. They have two things going for them. They're invincible. And it's in wrestling, no matter what people say, it's my spot. So if you don't, you know, ROH says, we're going to do a taping in an undisclosed location in Philadelphia. I'll text everybody the thing. We're going to put everyone in a hotel for 2 weeks beforehand. You're going to get your temperature taken every day, make sure everyone's clear. And then we're going to do a show. You can show up if you want, and you don't have to show up, you know, whatever. And there's going to be guys that don't want to go. And then when things start picking up again and we see regular TV, whatever push or wherever those guys are, there's a good chance they're far down the card. And I think that's across the board. I think you're going to see it in WWE.
Yep.
If your name's not fucking Roman Reigns, sorry, bro. You're beat. So you have to – that's something like I don't think people are like, oh, you know, it's great. These guys want to go out and they want to entertain. No, they want their fucking spot and they want to get paid. And unfortunately, that's the situation they're in.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. If there's a – and but that would be more for a taping situation. I think the mobile taping idea is really, really good. But like the WWE trying to go live every Monday, that's a little crazy to me. That's asking a lot. That's asking a lot of your people. That's a big ask of your people. You're trusting way too many people to do the right thing, that something isn't going to go wrong in there. The odds just aren't in your favor.
Yeah, that's I'm with Ryan. That I don't care if they pre-tape shows like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's great. You still put on, you know, two-night pay-per-view, regardless of if whether me or you or anyone else liked it or not. You still gave people a show, and you had so much ample time to tape shows for a month and really give everybody, you know, give wrestlers time to be home, be safe with their families. Not even that, just some time to, like, heal up anything that's bothering them or any, like, lingering or aching injuries, and it feels like a missed opportunity for them there, at least, I think. I know there's stuff that came out that because of Fox deals or NBC deals,
yeah,
that might be the reason, but I'm happy at least that, you know, the AEW wrestlers we like watching are home, they're safe, they're not traveling. If anyone's dealing with any lingering injuries, they can hopefully, you know, heal up and feel better. And whenever they're allowed to go live Wednesday nights from whatever location they choose to do so from, they'll be good to go.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the dark tunnel, I think people are going to respond well. And I think, you know, people are going to Jones to, you know, that first AEW live show where you can be there as a fan. Like, that's going to sell out. Raw's going to sell out. SmackDown's going to sell out. Like,
oh, everything's going to sell out.
It's going to boom once it comes back.
Oh, yeah.
And everything that happened today, like, it's awful. It's awful that all these people lost their jobs. But, man, that fucking indie scene's going to be hot.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be so hot because these guys aren't just going to fucking roll out of bed and just sign a contract with anyone. They're going to go through the same thing that everyone, you know, who gets released from the WWE for the most part does. They're going to fucking work the independents. They're going to get every fucking guy that wants that encyclopedia signed. They're paying that $40 for that order. Like, these guys are going to get theirs, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, and I'm sure fucking all these companies are going to offer deals, like, you know, Ring of Honor, MLW, AEW, Impact. Like, you can work for us for, you know, we'll pay you this to show up and be a part of this storyline or whatever. You know, there's going to be plenty of opportunity. It's just now is, what are we doing? Impact's taping, AEW is taping, and WWE is taping. And that's it. Court Bauer went on record and said he will not promote a live event until he is 100%. Sure that it is safe for his employees and his wrestlers. And he said he's got at least a year worth of old MLW footage. And if you have BN Sports, it's on every night at 10 o'clock. They're showing MLW. He's digitizing everything from 2002 to 2004, which I was not watching wrestling at that time. But MLW did stuff with, they had like the new Four Horsemen. Carino was there. Funk was there. Like, apparently it's some really good shit. So if that's available to you, you're good to go, man. I mean, there's wrestling out there. Ring of Honor's doing like they're doing like spotlight episodes on like the Briscoes and Jay Lethal, and I think they did Matt Taven this week. So everyone's trying, man. They're reaching into that tape library, and there's tons of content.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are people who prepared. I think All Elite especially saw this coming and has prepared for it. And they'll take it all the way to, you know, they're going to take it all the way to Double or Nothing. And I think that, you know, now that we've gotten past this this Mox Hager thing, it's going to be interesting to see how they set this up, having pre-taped everything, what the build is for Mox's title defense at Double or Nothing. It'll also be interesting to see how we get to the TNT title, because I think we all knew that Lance was going to get there at night. But I think next week's matches can kind of be a toss-up either way. I mean, I think Kip is going to lose to Dustin, because I think they're going to play the Lance and Cody angle during, you know, during a semifinal, I guess, for Dustin and Lance. I think it's going to be Dustin and Lance. But, man, that Sammy and Darby match can go either way. And they've got a lot of outs with this tournament. So I think they're lining things up really nice. And, you know, having pre-taped all this, you know, you've gotten a chance to control your destiny, control your narrative. And then, you know, now look how much time you've got to prepare, knowing the outcomes all the way to Double or Nothing. They've got nothing but time to sit now and prep for that one show they're going to run live.
And pre-taping all this shit with no fans means no spoilers.
Right.
That's true. I also thought of something else, and it could be a reason for why some stuff is looking noticeably more awkward recently. Do you think not having a crowd is affecting how they're able to communicate in the ring?
I don't think so. I mean, you could still see there's some spots. Like, you could see tonight when Mox was fighting Hager, like, you could see he was talking to him at certain times. But I don't think it's necessarily doing anything wrong. I think with some of the matches we've been seeing with local talent, like, it's more noticeable where it looks like things are a little choppy. But I think it's just guys are super green or not as experienced with working some of these, you know, guys who've been doing it for a long time, you know. We're just going to, I think, have to accept that at a certain level right now.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, I mean, the Lance and Colt match was fine. I don't think that anything was hurting there. And, you know, Kip Sabian and Chucky T match, I think that one was fine, too. I don't think not having a crowd there is hurting in that fashion. And I think that they did the smart thing by having wrestlers at ringside.
We talked absolutely about that. That helps a lot.
Yeah, we've talked about that week over week. It's been great. Even the week they weren't able to do it, just having the guys backstage to cut to and see what they're doing has been great for them. So, you know, I don't think it's – maybe, Matt, Danny, you think otherwise, but I don't think it's hurt.
No, I think it's been okay. There was I think it might have been a couple weeks ago where it felt a little odd. It felt, I think we – like the ring might have been smaller when they filmed from somewhere. Maybe it was the last live show.
Yeah, a couple shows ago nothing, I noticed that.
Yeah, but nothing super noticeable to me in that regard at least.
I'll tell you, watching it now, I don't know if I'm just used to it or whatever, but just having some noise there – I know there's no crowd there, but just some noise is better than nothing at all. Like, if WWE needs to take a page out of the book of AEW, even if it's, I mean, I know they released all the jobbers, but get a couple guys out there just to, like, get some people out there and make noise. Get family members out there, somebody. Like, I get it.
It makes it feel like a fight club.
And it makes just that, like, they do such a good job of, like, I never really paid a ton of attention to the crowd. Just a little noise. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Yes, a pay-per-view, like you want the crowd to go fucking wild when fucking Jon Moxley beats Chris Jericho. Yes, the crowd needs to go fucking nuts. There needs to be that pop. But, like, now, like, I kind of, my wife was watching. She was like, I thought there was supposed to be no crowd. I'm like, nah, there's like five people on that side and five people on that side. And they just make noise all night. And that's kind of makes me forget that there's not a crowd because I'm so into the stories that they're telling in the ring. Like, even, like, the shit that doesn't matter. Like, Sean Spears beating a jobber. I wish they would have explained why he didn't fucking sit up last week against Cody Rhodes. Because it's
right.
The fucking weirdest pin I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, he's two in a row now. He went as fucking... They say in Major League, you win a third, and that's called a winning streak. You know, who knows where they're going with that? I know Cody jumped in the rankings. It's now Moxley. Cody's number two. Omega's three. MJF is four. And I think Darby Allin's five in the men's ranking. Let me see if I have that right. Yes. Jake is one. Cody, Jericho, Omega, and Darby Allin. That was before tonight's show, obviously.
I thought Pac was on that list for a while, and... I know he hasn't really wrestled much, but they had him on a little bit of a run there.
Yeah, he was on that list for a little bit of time, but obviously he's not, you know.
Yeah, he's probably stuck in England.
They started to move him with the Death Triangle stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yes, and that last live taping they did, it was Chucky T and Trent challenged them to a street fight anywhere in a parking lot, and that never really happened either.
That was the week – that was right before they moved to, like, Tennessee or wherever they are now.
Yeah.
Everything changed that following week, so they didn't really have a choice. But I honestly think that wherever the Lucha Brothers are, they're stuck, and I think, you know, that's also – I think Pac is stuck. He's probably – he might be in the UK. You know, if he's in the UK, he's stuck, and, you know, you'd need a work visa, and he probably doesn't – have some sort of work visa saying he's essential at this point. So he's probably stuck. But I just because of everything going on too, I think the UK is in the shit a little bit right now. So he might be in a case where if you come over, you have to be quarantined for 14 days and you can't do anything anyway. So it's going to be a waste, you know? So, I mean, it's just, again, it's all this stuff we're dealing with. Like, I'm sure the Death Triangle and the Best Friends, that will get back to form whenever everybody can get.
Goddamn Optimum.
Optimum, you son of a bitch.
Don't give your money to Jimmy Dolan. Switch to Fios. I refuse to give that man a dime of my money.
So before Anthony comes back and he picks up where he left off, how'd you guys feel about the main event? Because I was super amped up for it, the way they built it up, and I get it. You got to tell a story. There's a pacing to the match. But, man, it fucking zapped me, man. I don't know, because it was like this weird, like, they're going to do this MMA thing. Like, I don't know, man. And then the fact that they were both wearing, Kate brought it up in our group text message, They were wearing the same fucking tights almost. I thought they were
a
goddamn tag
that's
team.
A problem.
And it's weird because like I feel like AEW does such a great job on focusing on the little things. Like getting all these people that are involved in the MMA world to comment on this fight before it happened was brilliant because it made it feel like it was a real fight, big fight. But then to see these guys in the ring and fucking they both have camouflage on, it kind of was like, ugh, come on, guys. Somebody should have been like, hey, guys, you know, hey, girl, bring your fucking black tights or whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it was just, I don't know, man. I don't feel like it lived up to the hype. It was long, too. It was like 35 minutes.
It was really long.
Yeah, it being pre-taped with the commercial breaks, makes it feel even longer, because when you think of it that when they normally have those matches at the end of shows and it's live, if they start at 9:30, you're watching through with the commercials. This felt what they start 9:22, 9:23 around there.
Yeah, before
that's a 9:30. full amount of time. And I also think like Hager's slow and plotting style doesn't help that match the most, and he's a legitimate MMA guy, and I know what they were going for, but just not my favorite. I know Mox can do better. We've said on the pod for a while. I know Kate has, and I have too. I'm not a Jake Hager guy. I think he's pretty boring. I thought he was more interesting in AEW when he didn't talk. So I'm kind of happy this feud is through. But everything leading up to it, I like that they did to make it feel like a real fight. The 24/7 feel, the call-ins from celebrities and MMA fighters and refs, all that stuff I like. But the match was not great.
Anthony, we are talking about Hager and Moxley, the main event. Your thoughts, and if you want to finish whatever thought you were giving us before, Optimum said, "Go fuck your hand," which it looks like it did again. So. We're going to... Anthony, you there? Man, looks like we lost him again. He's going to freak... He's going to freak the fuck out. Yeah, I don't know. I felt flat, you know? And it's... You know, people are going to... The thing is, like, a lot of people will compare this to Edge versus Randy Orton. Same kind of ideal, right? They got, like, one star, like... Come on, Meltzer and company, like, put on your fucking big boy pants. Like, this wasn't great.
No, not at all.
This is in the same ballpark. I love AEW, but this really, like,
yeah,
it zapped me, man.
It didn't work. It reminded me of, and I was like you, Matt. I was super excited. I'm like, well, damn, this is going to be good. And then as the match started, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's still Jack Swagger. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. I didn't like him then either. So, you know, I don't know if it's shame on me for thinking it would be different or they did that good of a job presenting him that way. And I also, I think I mentioned it to Matt via text. It's not like he's a massive, you know, needle moving star, but I felt like obviously Moxley's going to retain, but other than, you know, a DDT and a chair and a pin for a guy that you've built up as a big, legit, believable, undefeated in MMA, undefeated in AEW. If you hadn't mentioned all that stuff so much, I'd be like, all right, fine. But I felt like he should have had to have taken a little bit more of a beating from weapons than he did. That way he can always fall back on, well, I'm undefeated in real wrestling matches. You know what I mean? Which I guess he still could, but that's my one small nitpick with just the psychology of it. Just the way it was put together. I thought they could have kept doing what they've been doing with Hager and not have a loss really affect that if he loses the right way. I just don't think they did that. So maybe they don't care. I don't know, but it's something that I noticed immediately.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the main event was what it was. I think it was it was slow, it was plotting, but to me, it almost felt like when you watch an MMA fight where these guys are afraid to get close, and no one wants to strike, and no one wants to get taken down. And it's kind of that chess match. That's sort of what it felt like to me, probably inadvertently. They probably didn't want it to feel like that. Maybe they did. Who knows? I think, obviously, leading up to this, if you had a live crowd and you probably were going to do some of the things you would do to hype this, attacks in front of a crowd, you know, kind of coming through the crowd and doing something to the other guy, you know, and surprising them, you know, it probably would have been a different build. It would have been a different feel. So they did the best they could. The buildup was good. The match, you know, with no crowd was probably a little lacking. You know, so it was what it was. I agree. There was, you know, some of that stuff where the finish seemed really fast. I agree. Like, you know, doing it on the chair, I get it. There weren't a whole lot of weapons. You know, there was a lot of wrestling and a lot of holds, which I was actually surprised at, because Mox isn't really known as a submission wrestler. He's kind of been known as a brawler. So some of that stuff surprised me. But, I mean, again, under the circumstances where we are now, they built it to be a big fight. They built it to feel like you have to see this. You can't miss it. And I think they got a lot of people. I think they got out of it exactly what they needed. It was something special to see on TV. And now they'll build, you know, the next special thing is going to be the tournament. And they're continually building towards that. And I think they're doing an okay job with that. You know, we'll see what comes for Double or Nothing.
Sorry, I'm doing 100 things at once over here. The tournament next week, we have a stacked show. We're going to get Darby Sammy. We're going to get Kip and Dustin, which Anthony mentioned before. We're going to get a Kenny Omega match. We're going to get Jimmy Havoc against Orange Cassidy.
Brody Lee also.
Brody Lee, yes. I mean, we didn't get a Matt Hardy this week. Like, they're not shoving everything down your throat, which I like. You're kind of...
Yeah, me too.
There was no Matt Hardy this week. So maybe you get him next week. Maybe you get 2 weeks before the Matt Hardy stuff. There was no the Jacksons. There was no Adam Page. Jericho mentioned it, but it'll be interesting. Like next, I'm excited for next week's show. Granted, the main event didn't do anything for me. It kind of felt flat. I could give a shit less if Hager loses. It was great when he first showed up on Dynamite on that first show. He served a purpose. He was the muscle. He'll land on his feet. He'll fucking... I don't know, beat up Marco Stunt and Sonny Kiss, and he'll be fine. Like, he's still going to serve his purpose. He'll do something in Blood and Guts. We talked about it the last 2 weeks. He was a great first opponent for Jon Moxley, and they built it up nice. You know, that was his first title defense. You have to remember that, since Revolution, which was at the end of February. So almost 2 months before we saw Moxley defend the title. I'm kind of in the same boat with everybody in terms of Hager doesn't do anything for me. I thought it was funny when he told his kids to do earmuffs and he was going to beat the shit out of.
yeah, I popped at that, definitely.
You know, Sammy Guevara said he's going to beat the shit out of Darby Allin, and there was kind of a little interaction there. I didn't see who Lance Archer knocked out before the match. Was it just a nobody at ringside?
They never even mentioned it. They just said he knocked somebody out. Nobody saw who it was. So
yeah, I didn't notice.
I couldn't tell if it was just a guy or if maybe it was like Austin Gunn. So I'm not sure.
Austin Gunn lost to Sean Spears on AEW Dark from the Gunn Club. Or no?
Right.
Was it? Yes. Austin? It was Austin or Billy.
You know what? I think
I didn't notice.
Billy.
Let me see.
Oh, I thought it was Austin, but
no, it was Billy.
Billy.
It was Billy.
He beat Billy.
He beat Billy. He's the ass man. I did Rob Van Dam point to my butt. I'm an ass man.
What did everybody think of the bubbly club or the bubbly brunch? I'm sorry.
Bunch?
It was the bubbly bunch.
I thought it was fun. I mean, just it felt very being the elite to me.
Yeah, it was fun.
Which I think would be stuff like that would be a fun thing to bring to the show for for the next few weeks while we still have taped shows as filler. I know next week is Being the Elite 200, which they've been making a big deal about. This week they've done a 3-part episode 199, and for a long time I think a lot of people who love the Bucks and the Elite have wanted them to do more of that stuff and bring a little more of that element to Dynamite. So I think that's something worth exploring. Maybe next week you do, you have parts of being the Elite on Dynamite, and you try and mix the worlds together.
I mean, they, if you watch, I watched the first episode of Being the Elite. There was a, they did add a match. It was Peter Avalon against Scorpio Sky against Brandon Cutler, and they did the, you know, they did a great job. They had someone like 60 feet away shooting camera, and then one of the Jacksons was ringside. I mean, you make the best of a bad situation. But yeah, I'd love to see them integrate Being the Elite into Dynamite, and I think they're going to have to because of the circumstances that they're in. How do you guys feel about them going ahead with Double or Nothing?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, listen, it's one of those things where you have this big tentpole pay-per-view in your, you know, in your company. I think for them, they have to keep it. I think for the other guys, for the corporation, you know, they could have pushed their big main show and tried to do it in front of a live crowd, or even just try to do something different where the time wasn't as crunched. I think that they're going to be lucky. All Elite is going to be lucky that they've had so much time to kind of prepare for this. It's not been like, you know, the corporation had like a week and a half to kind of figure out what they were going to do and how they were going to pivot. There's been a lot of time to figure out how they wanted to put this show on. I think the fact that they are not chancing it and putting it in front of a crowd, I think because they can't, but not trying to figure out a way to put this on in front of a crowd is good. And they care about the safety of everybody. So I'm okay with them doing this. I think it's just the situation we're in. If they cancel it, they miss one of what, like six pay-per-views they do a year. So they have to do it. They have to try to get it, right? So they
four pay-per-views.
Okay. Well, is that what they ran last year? Four? Because maybe this year they were going to up it. I don't know. But
last year they didn't start until Double or Nothing. And then if you count Fight for the Fallen and I forget what the other...
Fighter Fest.
And if you count those, I guess it would be five, although those weren't like full-on pay-per-views. They were on BR Live. But this year, you were slated to have, you had Revolution. It was going to be Double or Nothing in May. They're sticking with Chicago for All Out in September. And then you'd imagine something in November, like when they had Full Gear last year.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe I was counting on them having those other two, you know, for whatever they'd be. But... yeah, I mean, I just don't think they have the luxury of being able to scrap a pay-per-view show. I think they've got to try to get the money where they can get the money. And I think people will watch it because it's going to be something that is not, you know, it's not going to be pre-taped. It's going to be live, and it's going to be something to watch. I think wrestling fans will order it and watch it.
Well, and I think they've put themselves in a position where they've planned so far ahead. So now... you know, Tony Khan's got deep pockets. If he wants to fly fucking people out 2 weeks beforehand, and you get there and he fucking hits you with a gun and he says, check your temperature every day. I know this sucks, but you're quarantined to this hotel room for 2 weeks. But you'll be on the pay-per-view so we can have a fucking full show. And then while you're here, when that's done, we're going to tape another 2 months.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, Danny.
I'm happy they're still planning on running it. Obviously, it's today's April 15th. Yeah, today's April 15th. So you're like a month and a week away. So given the fact that you have some time for stuff to maybe calm down and maybe be a little safer for them to finally get together to run a show again, as long as it's safe where they can run it and everyone's tested or no one showing symptoms and, you know, people can safely get there and the show can safely be put on, I'm fine with it. But if it's putting anyone or any performers or anything in any kind of danger of catching it or other people catching it and getting sick, then you have to think they won't run it, or I would hope they wouldn't run it. But my big takeaway is that them going through with it on the 23rd means they know, and I think all of us know, there's not going to be fans for a long time, because it's not a situation where, you know, if they could maybe push it back like 3 weeks or something and have it in front of people, that's not, you know, that's not too hard to do. You can still possibly have it in Vegas or somewhere else. And it's not too much more time to fill with TV. Given the fact that they're just going ahead with it, though, they're not anticipating fans for a long time. And I don't think we'll end up getting the live show in July. I think no chance. Not a chance. Which sucks, but, you know, what can you do?
Right, it is what it is. And you say, oh, but, you know, why are you so down on WWE running every week or doing a live show and AEW doing a live show and you're okay with them? Every week means they have to get people there every week.
Yes.
Now, if Vince McMahon is bringing people in and he's putting them up in a hotel, he says, you got to be here for 2 weeks and then you go from your room to this bus and we take you there and you're good to go, do it. But if you're
no problem.
If you're having fucking people travel every single week, like, everybody doesn't live in Florida. Here's a shocker. Everyone that is in the WWE, you can use those NXT talents as much as you want, because I'm assuming a lot of them live in the area. But some of these guys, they have fucking families. They don't relocate. Like, Edge lives in North Carolina. Like, is that it? Was this it? He just wanted to have his WrestleMania match and he's done? Like, you can't bring back Roman Reigns. But Kyle O'Reilly has diabetes, so you got to be extra careful.
Yeah, he's out.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, who else? Jerry Lawler's fucking 70 years old. Why is Jerry Lawler at a fucking live taping? The fucking poor guy had a goddamn heart attack on your show.
To be fair, Jerry Lawler seems like a guy that might also think this is all BS.
But you can't let them decide. You have to take care of your people. The
difference I agree.
Between, look, AEW put themselves in a position where, again, if Tony Khan wants to bring everyone out 2 weeks early, everyone, and quarantine them for 2 weeks and then do a show and then tape the next 3 months, great. WWE, they might be doing the same fucking thing and we don't know about it, but man, you running live every week means people have to travel every week. You're fucking, you're Icarus, bro. You're flying way too close to the sun.
Yeah, it's a dicey operation. And to your point with the whole, like, you know, fly everyone to a hotel, do the live event, and then tape TV, then it's worth it. Then that two-week quarantine in a hotel is totally worth it, you know? But if you got to do that every time, you know, you're bringing people in every Monday, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Right, like, do you want to be in a hotel room for 2 weeks in Las Vegas? No. Away from your family? No. But do you want to have to fly to Orlando, do Raw, and then fly back to home, and then be quarantined from your family for 2 weeks just to fly back down? That's like the most ridiculous shit. Like, let's do a baseball season and have all the teams in Arizona for 4 months. These people don't want to be away from their fucking families for 4 months, and nothing's guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
The fucking
guy
that brought me my Twisted Tees today could have the fucking coronavirus. Like, you never, nothing's guaranteed. So it's just a weird, it's a crazy situation, but I think AEW is ahead of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. And I think the crazy thing when you're talking about doing live TV every week is that you essentially have one company who, up until today, had enough talent to turn around and possibly say to some of it, who's not being utilized, to say, we can put you up in a place here for 2 months. You can stay here. You can be a part of weekly shows if you want, and you can get X pay rate. And I guarantee you, you had some of the roster who would have jumped at the opportunity. But you cut everybody loose because you're struggling, and it's the situation we're in. I get it. You've just filed for Chapter 11 for something else that didn't pan out you couldn't control. I get it. But Matt, you are exactly right. The risk is not worth the reward. You've either got to fly guys in, have them quarantine themselves for 2 weeks ahead of time, go back home, quarantine yourselves for 2 weeks, or you've essentially, like, I think you've got to say to guys, you're going to be here, we're running live TV, but if you're coming, you're here for 2 months. because you got to stay here. You can't leave. We got to test you, and then we got to make sure you're good. Like, there's no – I don't think live TV is the thing to do right now. I honestly, truly – this is not because this is the post-show we're doing. I think All Elite has had the best game plan of all of them as soon as things started to go downhill in Florida the first time. And they called the quarantine and the essential workers had to stay home. They pivoted. They said, this is it. We're going to shoot everything. We're done. We'll take the time. We'll stay safe. I think that's been the way to do it. I think anybody else who's risking their talent is just making foolish business decisions right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy time. And, you know, WWE, arguably the biggest wrestling company in the world, let, you know, 20 and more. I mean, they're not even announcing the NXT talent they're releasing. And then you look at, like, AEW hasn't let anyone go. ROH paid Katarina, what the fuck's her last name? Burchill. Katarina Burchill? Does that sound familiar to anyone? Waters?
Nope.
Katarina Waters? You'd know.
Sorry, Matt.
You'd know. She worked in WWE. She was a diva. She's done stuff with Impact. She was supposed to work an ROH show. She tweeted out today that ROH paid her, even though the show didn't take place. Like, there's all these companies who aren't letting people go, and I get it. WWE's on a grander stage. They get all their money from their live gates, but, man, this is an unprecedented time, and you think they would be a little more understanding. Like, you wanted this. You wanted this live show. Like, you have a fucking tape library forever. You could have spent the next couple months just highlighting, like, the Seth Rollins and the Kevin Owens of the world. Like, you could have made them household names if they were on USA every fucking week and you were just showing the best of Kevin Owens and the best of Seth Rollins and the best of Sami Zayn. You could have made stars. Like, this is Braun Strowman. He's our Universal Champion. Here's his rise to the top. But instead, you're going to make all these people, you know, essentially risk their health. And look, they're athletes. They're in top shape. Odds of them actually getting, like, sick, they're probably in the lower half. But still, it's not about them. It's who they're coming in contact with.
Yeah, it's who they're around.
Does Miz and Maryse, you know, what's Maryse's mother like? Like, are we going to get her sick? Do we have to worry about that? It's fucking crazy town.
Well, the other thing, too, is, yeah, these guys are in great shape, but with the amount of travel that they might have to do and the amount of exertion they're putting themselves through in the ring and any working out they're doing, your immune system is weaker. You know, yeah, you're stronger, you're physically stronger, but, you know, all of this stuff really hits your immune system. So you do have to be careful. What I think is crazier, now that we're kind of post AEW post show, what I think is kind of even crazier is that everybody's really stuck on the talent releases today, and not a whole lot of people are actually talking about the corporate implications this is having. They're laying off corporate employees too. This isn't just a talent thing. They're letting people go from the main company corporation. I mean, this has massive ramifications for, you know, the WWE. Talent, yeah, that's crazy. These guys, you know, don't get the same benefits regular workers do. They don't get the same pay. It doesn't all work out. You know, some of the producers, they're getting furloughed, so it's a different story. They still have a job when things come back around, but when's that going to be? And nothing's guaranteed, and I don't know what it's like if you want to be let out of a furlough. So who knows how that is, but dude, it could be you, it could be me, it could be any one of us who worked for the company who could be being let go right now too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just a talent thing. There are regular people like any of us who are now jobless because they have taken a massive hit. I think it's crazy to see, you know, and what nobody else is even talking about is that this could also possibly be tied to the XFL. You know what I mean?
Oh, very, like, much so.
You know, we know that it's, and I'm doing air quotes, separate companies, you know, that ran the XFL. But, you know, when you file Chapter 11 and, you know, your B shares are tied to your main company, you know, it's going to affect everything. It's absolute insanity.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I think a lot of the people screaming and yelling online need to remember that that's a publicly traded company. They have stockholders to answer to. So when shit goes tits up on the financial end, they have to do something or the stock tanks. That's how it works. You know, there's no option. You know, and I was going through the list of people. Kate actually was nice enough to send this over to me. Well, because she's home and losing her mind, obsessed. There's a lot of people who they really weren't using on TV. I mean, Kurt Angle, I didn't even realize that he was still getting like a talent paycheck from them. Yeah. But like Rusev and maybe Anderson and Gallows, just because they were so prominently in the Boneyard match. But, you know, everybody else on there, you know, and she was also starting to die on the hill of Deonna Purrazzo should go to AEW. What kind of back and forth did I have with her on that? She wanted me to mention. She was like, Deonna will get a payday from AEW. And my response was, why? She can work, but I'm not paying money to see her. AEW desperately needs someone like Paige. They need a girl to come in there that knows what she's doing, a lot of like what Jericho did for a lot of the men, and come in and help a lot of these girls learn how to get over. None of them know how to get over is the problem.
Well, I think the other thing too is, you know, of course people are now talking like, where are all these people going to go? Oh, they're going to get snatched up by AEW.
No, they're not.
Well, even if they are, it ain't happening now.
No. You know,
it's going to happen in months because they're taped until May. And then after May, who knows what they're going to have going on. I mean, there's no money coming in besides their pay-per-view and maybe some of the merch sales.
Totally.
You don't have ticket sales. You don't have any of the extra stuff. So any of these guys who are going to get hired, they're going to be on a long hiatus.
Absolutely. So,
you know, the one important thing I think we could all agree on is if these guys have merch of their own that they're selling, you know, buy a t-shirt, you know, follow them on social media, try to see what they're doing. You know, guys like Ryder and Hawkins, listen to the podcast, support those guys, become Patreon members, do anything you can. Definitely buy merch before the USPS goes fucking bankrupt and doesn't start delivering mail anymore, because that's my next conspiracy theory is we're going to lose the USPS. But I mean, it's going to be some time before these guys get back to making money, significant money, or any money, whether significant or not, of any kind.
Oh, totally. And if you're WWE's, you know, it's harsh and it's an asshole thing to say, but if you're going to release a lot of people, and a few of those people have television value, like Gallows and Anderson, you know, you can put them on AEW and the crowd would pop for them pretty immediately. They could go to Japan and make a lot of money, but they can't now. So if you're going to release a lot of people like that who actually have, you know, names and television values in other places that you were keeping just to keep in your closet so that no one else could play with that toy, you know, now is a good time to do that because no one else can play with that toy still.
Yeah.
Of all the people released, give me one person released and where you want to see them go, or someone you want to see them have a match with. I'll start. I want Rusev to go to New Japan.
Absolutely.
Motherfucker, you stole my
Absolutely,
pick.
You son of a bitch.
No, that's the obvious one, though. I mean, like, I feel like everyone's been saying that, but man, that would be so much fun.
I say you can send Zack Ryder to Ring of Honor. I think Zack Ryder has gotten in with some of those guys. He's friends with Marty. Put him in Ring of Honor. Put him in a program. Let him do what he wants to do. He's savvy with social media, so he can help on that front too. I mean, it's a good fit for Ryder, so I say Ryder to Ring of Honor.
That's actually okay. That's a great call, Ant.
I'm gonna go a little off script here. Size wise, no. But everything else-wise, yes, Drake Maverick would work on NWA Power.
Yes.
I like that.
He would 100% work there. Just you could see him even as like, you know, all this is little shit or something like that.
I would like to see EC3 go back to Impact and take the title off of Tessa and be like, my aunt said she doesn't need no woman running around here as the champion if it's not Tetsi.
That'd be fantastic.
I would love to see Lio Rush go to New Japan and do something with the Super Juniors.
Yeah, he should go. He should absolutely go to Japan. I don't know what his attitude issues are, but I think going to Japan where – you know, it that would work there. I don't know. He could just mouth off and.
Mike going back to Ring of Honor, Mike Bennett, Mike Kanellis.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
And siding with Taven against Vincent and his crew, while Rowan maybe seems like he might fit in the Dark Order with Luke Harper if you wanted to tie them together.
Are we going to get a Mr. Brody clip next week where he's firing nameless, faceless people from the Dark Order? Because if we do, I'm gonna laugh.
I mean, they've pulled no punches so far, so I don't see why they couldn't do something like
no
that.
No one sneezes in front of Mr. Brody.
That's it.
I will say, I'm hoping we get some development from that character, and it's not just consistent and constant Vince rips as much as I enjoy them. I'm hoping they do something a little more serious with him. I don't know if I'd love bringing Rowan right in to be with him. That's like, I don't know. I think that's not where I want them to go with Brody. For Zack Ryder, I want a being the Elite Z true Long Island story mashup.
That's just the possibilities are, you know, look, and it happened Friday, so I don't even think we didn't talk about it. The Revival, too. They're free.
Yeah.
If anyone's showing up on TV, if anyone's showing up at Double or Nothing, it's the fucking Revival.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
But that's a tag, like, them.
Do you think they want to use that for no fan? I mean, they have to.
Listen, you give people, even if there's no fans, somebody showing up like that would be a huge day in the press and the sheets.
Lots of publicity the next day.
Right. I think that you have to do that. I think the like we're all playing, you know, like fantasy booking and all that kind of stuff and fantasy, you know, GM with this. I think what's going to be really cool is, and I said it again tonight, even with Gina, after the Moxley Hager match, you know, Mox is talking to the camera and he's just being himself. He's being his own character. It's going to be great to see these guys all go somewhere now and not be tied to a fucking gimmick or a character that they were mandated to stick to that they weren't in love with. When we get to see these guys and women be who they wanted to be and get to call the shots on their own character to an extent, because I'm sure there's some creative control going on with some of these other companies, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to see these guys get to be who they want to be and act how they want to act and not have, you know, the corporation kind of holding them down or looking over their shoulder all the time. So I think there are really great possibilities out there. The unfortunate thing is because of the timing, we're not going to get to see it for a while.
Yeah. And the fun question, too, is who's the next Juice Robinson? Like, does a no way Jose reinvent himself completely? You know, because clearly these guys can work. They can wrestle. They know what the fuck they're doing. It's just a matter of them figuring out where they fit. And maybe that time where they're not doing anything gives them time to figure something out, you know?
Sure. And I think the other thing, too, is maybe we're not thinking of this as well, is some of these guys are going to go now to, you know, these indie circuits or these smaller companies. And they're going to have a wealth of knowledge about how to be on TV, where maybe some of these other guys didn't. Like, that was a big thing when All Elite was starting, right? Everybody was like, well, we've got all these guys who have been on TV and know how to work TV the way that it needs to be worked because they came from this major company, and they're going to help everybody else out. You know, bring somebody who's had this experience to, you know, to Ring of Honor, and I know Ring of Honor does some TV, but bring them to Ring of Honor and see how maybe they can help some of these kids or some of these, I say kids, but what the fuck, have them help some of these guys, you know, get better at TV, you know, and think about things that maybe they don't normally think about, even MLW or, you know, Impact. I know Impact, again, they have TV experience, but not on the same level as, you know, the corporation. let's be serious.
Right. Of course. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, when the dominoes fall, what happens to the Heath Slaters and the Zack Ryders. Clearly there's a place for them. They do have name value. Whether you like it or not, it'll be super interesting to see what happens. It's again, Vince announced this morning that they were making cuts and they were going to cut like 40%. But man, when those releases just started fucking happening, it was like, holy shit, man, it was crazy town.
Yeah. Mike Chioda too. Mike Chioda's worked there for 30 years.
Bring him to AEW. Bring another big referee. Yeah. To AEW.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's been real. I think it's been a lot of fun. It is getting late, of course. I think my wife is cooking dinner, so I will have to eat as well. Before we sign off, before we say goodbyes, any closing words, last impressions you'd like to leave the people with?
Go ahead, Ryan. Go.
Oh, okay, I'll go first. I've been enjoying the Dark Side of the Rings, this one actually, you guys know I had a cousin who was a wrestler in the 80s. He was actually friends with Snuka, and so I did get to meet Snuka once, and he was a spooky dude.
Okay, brother.
Dude, that's all he said. Ha, nice to meet you, little brother. A little brother. Kids were little brother.
Little brother.
Little brother. Yep. He was a weird guy. But my cousin knew him. And I didn't know about any of this back then. But I did meet Snuka once. And my impression of Jimmy Snuka was that he was very spooky.
Yeah, there's a lot of – look, he was a regular in the northern New Jersey area. He did a lot of stuff at East Coast Professional Wrestling with Gino Caruso. And I was definitely there when I was like, yeah, sure beats WrestleMania 1 when he's wrestling in front of like 20 people at the fucking ECPW school. But, you know, it's, you never fucking know, man. He was all fucking jacked up. I mean, I will forever think he killed his girlfriend. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
I think he's 100% at least involved in it.
And then it comes like when fucking Sam Fatu finds out that he was in the car that day and like it was never brought up before, like he was fucking shook. They were like, but you were in the car. And he was like, yeah, we never stopped. We just kept going. And it's like,
My favorite was the reaction from the cop. He's like, well, we had a guy. He's like, don't tell me he was in the car. He's like, yeah, he was in the car. That guy looked like he saw a fucking ghost.
That's fucking every podunk police department in
Yeah.
70s and 80s. Like, I'm infatuated with murder. So, obviously, Anthony and Danny know because they drove to Baltimore with me and I talked about killing people. But man, like all these cases in the 70s and 80s, even the 90s, where the police departments are just such fucking retards about everything, it's unbelievable that they had a job to do and they fucked it up royally. And I think it just, the Snuka case falls underneath it too.
Yeah, I think it's easy. Corruption was easy back then. Because, you know, we forget all of us are old enough to remember from when we were kids. You know, if someone didn't answer their phone, oh, well, they weren't home. Like, someone showing up to a police department with a briefcase full of money and an investigation being dropped, totally plausible. Because at the time, how is that getting out? It's Allentown, Pennsylvania. Three people know about this. All these three people are going to shut up. And they didn't think a young, intrepid reporter 30 years later was going to reopen the case.
It's fucking unbelievable. I'm very excited about this week's episode.
What is this week's coming up? What is the next one?
Dino Bravo.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. It's going to be awesome.
Danny, swear to God, Danny, what are you shaking your fucking head about?
No idea.
You don't know who Dino Bravo is?
I know that name.
The Canadian strongman? He brought Earthquake into the WWF?
He's Dino Bravo's Canadian? That's the least sounding Canadian name I've ever heard.
Canadian strongman. I'll tell you the backstory, Danny, a preview so you don't have to watch the YouTube. There was a rumor that he was involved with a Canadian mob in a cigarette scheme where they were selling cartons of cigarettes.
Yeah, tax-free cigarette scheme, yep.
And at some point, he fucked up, so they went to his house and shot him dead in his fucking chair while he was watching TV.
For sure.
Cool, I'm into it.
We're going to find out Tuesday night, Dark Side of the Ring.
We are. That show's awesome.
It is excellent. And the After Dark show is fun with Chris Gethard. I finally got in contact with him, so you can expect to hear him on some show on the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast at some point. There we go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, we grew up with Chris, so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from West Orange.
Oh, no way.
I don't know if you guys grew up with him, but I did.
No, I didn't, but he's definitely still reps West Orange, so that's cool.
So Danny, anything you want to leave our fans with? I think we have fans too, by the way, just in case.
Really? We have fans?
Degeneration Y is strong. Tony and Kevin seem to really enjoy the show. And there's a couple other people out there, the usual suspects, Baza, and all those guys. We've got a couple new follows on the Twitter machine, so people are really enjoying the extra content.
Awesome.
Well, speaking of following on Twitter, give me a follow, DannyRuss973 on Twitter and Instagram. And if you're hungry this Saturday night and are in the mood for some pizza, order your food from the Pizza Vita website in Summit, New Jersey. And when you place your order in the text box, if you write, "Give me the big sausage pizza," Matt will bring out your pizza. And if you're familiar with what that website used to be, that's exactly what you'll get.
You know, and don't forget, Danny, if you're looking for a nice frosty beverage, I think you can pick up some elementary beers.
You can.
So definitely get some pizza, enjoy some cold elementary brews.
Oh, great plug.
And they are delightful. I've had a couple.
Well, we do local home delivery in the Bergen County area, and all your local Bottle Kings and Gary's do home delivery. They carry all of our beer.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, you could follow me at Ant Money on Twitter. I'm Ant Money 24/7 on Instagram. And my big statement to end this show this week is fuck Optimum. My internet drops all the fucking time in my house.
Fios, baby.
I'm the only – yeah, I wish fucking Fios was in my area. If anybody working for Verizon is listening to this, please come to Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. I will give you all of my fucking money. $300 a month and my internet drops out every 10 fucking minutes. It's a goddamn nightmare. But that's the end. I had a fun show tonight.
Yikes. Ryan, anything before we shut this shit down?
No, not really. I don't have much going on. My social media is boring as shit unless you play guitar, so.
Hey, you never know. At Ryan Arthur on Twitter, at AntMoney on Twitter, at DannyRuss973 on the Twitter machine. We're going to have Kate from On Deck. Hopefully she's back next week at On Deck IC. I might want to try a five-person booth here with all
four. Hey!
If Ryan is happy to come back, I know.
More than happy.
I know. You guys don't have a lot going on, so this is kind of a nice break from the bullshit of the world. It gives you time to vent and just hang out and just forget about all the nonsense. And you guys have been awesome since we started this a couple weeks ago, and I have every intention of doing this every Wednesday night.
This is fantastic, man. This is a lot of fun.
I enjoy you guys. You're great supporters of the Shining Wizards. You're great friends, which is more important, and you're safe and you're happy. Go over to ShiningWizards.com. Tony redid the whole website because GoDaddy eats a bag of dicks. So Tony spent the last month or so redoing the whole website. There's lots of great stuff up there, pictures of people wearing our shirts, our past guests. Tony added a bunch of stuff from conventions and wrestling shows that we've been to. So check that out. If you have a couple bucks, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show. If you don't, just head over to our Twitter and Facebook at Wizards Podcast. The likes, the retweets, the spreading the word on the podcast, that doesn't even have a monetary value to it. It's so invaluable, and we appreciate everything. that you do to help spread the word on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. The Shining Wizards Cup is taking place on Twitter and Facebook. We're down to the final four. It's the Dudley Boys against the Road Warriors, and it's the Steiner Brothers against Hanson and Brody. If you just search the hashtag Shining Wizards Cup 2020, you can vote. Voting ends Monday at noon to find out who is in the championship, and we are working on another giant tournament to find out who the greatest something champion is. I will not spoil it. That is a teaser. You can fill in the blanks if you want. But we're doing a lot of good things. We're trying to provide extra content. We hope you stay safe. We hope you stay home. Don't go to the parks. Don't take down caution tape. Yes, Anthony.
Because you love it so much, is it best women's champion of all time?
You know what? We had to dig hard to find 64. But yes, we're going to do a tournament on women's wrestling.
No, are you really?
No, because nothing would alienate the fans more than that. Okay? Sorry, you say whatever you want. I sound like a chauvinistic pig. I sound like an asshole. There's like six women in the history of professional wrestling that are any good, and they all – not six. I'm sorry. I'm going to take that back. There's a handful. Okay, a lot of them work at Impact. A lot of them work in WWE and NXT. There's a couple out there sprinkled in sporadically.
Isn't a handful less than six?
Five.
It's five.
It's fucking.
So you just took one away.
If it's Andre the Giant's hands, it's more. Oh, if you're looking for a good book, there's a brand new Andre the Giant book came out, which is the most revealing and detailed book about Andre's life. It just came on sale yesterday on Amazon. It's fucking amazing. So check that out.
And we are doing an AEW post-show podcast. Might as well give JR a plug. His book came out, too, Under the Black Hat. I heard.
Very,
I have to read it. I've heard good things.
All right, gentlemen. Let me see if I can get some closing music here to send us all home.
It should be Flight of the Icarus, because you brought up Icarus before.
Yeah, you want a little maiden?
Maiden's good, man.
I know it is. I have fucking Eddie tattooed all over my body.
If you find Eddie on Matt's body, you've got the big sausage pizza.
Yeah, he's just on my legs. It's nothing to fucking write home about.
Yeah, the third leg.
Shit, that old gag. Ah, there we go. Look at that. All right. Thanks for joining us on your Wednesday night. Oops, it's too low. I'm still working on this. This whole new system here. Thanks for joining us on the rant, rantiumradio.com, or in podcast form on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. If you have a Spotify, we're free on Spotify. Fucking download the shit out of that. Ryan, Anthony, Danny, a pleasure as always. We'll be
Matthew,
back next
thank
week.
You, fellas.
Hopefully we'll be back with Kate the Great. She won't have the corona anymore, and she could rain a little bit on our AEW parade. See y'all next week.
Later. See you guys.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Where's my phone? There it is.
Turn my mic on.